Chapter 13.
I know, Ventress replied. That Voss hadn't expected. It threw him utterly.
You do? How?
She gave him a little smile that was much gentler than her usual smirk.
I'm not a fool. I see what you can do. Those cat-quick reflexes of yours. Your fall back on Mustafar. That should have killed you and Vran.
Oh, Voss managed weakly.
Why?
He closed his eyes for a moment, deciding how much he should tell her. The answer came clear and true. Everything.
The Jedi Council's ordered me to kill Count Dooku. They thought the best way to do that was through you.
She folded her arms, but she looked more curious than anything else.
Elaborate.
He did. He told her that the Jedi Council, and now he, knew that Dooku had cast her aside and tried to kill her. That she knew Dooku better than anyone. That she had tried alone to kill her former master and failed both times. That Master Yoda thought that together she and Voss would succeed. Ventress listened without interrupting. When Voss fell silent, she said,
I'm surprised that the Jedi Council would take such action. Not that I disapprove of it, mind you, but it's a big step from Jedi to assassin. I've watched you struggle with some of the things we've done, Voss. And trust me, you've only seen a very sanitized version of what goes down in the usual bounty hunt.
She shook her head.
Your council doesn't fully appreciate what it will take to accomplish this goal.
I'll do it. Whatever it takes.
I respect your confidence,
she said, a hint of a smile playing around her full lips.
And,
she added more seriously,
your honesty. I don't normally encounter someone with both. You're a rare breed, Voss. But Dooku, I'm not sure you're ready for that kind of fight.
Then make me ready. That's what the Council sent me to you for.
She started to turn away.
You don't understand what you're asking.
Impulsively, he caught her arm. Ventress glanced from his hand to his face, almost wary.
Then tell me. Make me understand.
She faced him then, her eyes searching his.
It will require you to forsake nearly everything that it means to be a Jedi. But you've already begun down that path, I think. Your grief over the deaths of the Krim family does not speak of non-attachment.
He frowned.
Jedi aren't without emotion. We're allowed to grieve.
Perhaps,
Ventress allowed.
But somehow I don't think most Jedi try to drown the pain with alcohol and slam their fists on the table.
No,
Voss admitted. Her words were truer than he dared let her know. But one truth he could speak.
Ventress, this war.
He shook his head.
The Council's right. All our resources are being poured into it. And it's a bottomless pit. A victory here, a loss there.
We're too busy simply reacting to the next crisis.
We're Jedi, not generals. We should be fighting organizations like Black Sun. Doing things that make a difference.
Dooku is the war.
When he dies, it's over. With him gone, the Jedi could really help people again. Really do something that makes a lasting difference. More than just a single rescue here and there that in the end doesn't...
Voss swallowed hard. He realized his fingers were digging into her arm. Ventress didn't seem concerned, but he forced himself to loosen his grip slightly and took a breath.
So, yes, I want Dooku dead now. His death will fix everything.
Ventress placed a hand on his chest. His heart sped up beneath her fingers, and he knew she could feel it.
Gently, she said, you will have to harden that soft heart of yours.
Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to become, I'll do it. I'll be it.
She regarded him steadily.
then said, "We shall see."
Seated in the dim shadows of the 1313 bar, Obi-Wan Kenobi resisted the urge to check the time again. He knew Voss was late. He didn't need to know exactly how late. The information would serve nothing except to make Kenobi more irritated than he already was. In many ways, Voss was the perfect choice for this mission. He had a knack for quickly and thoroughly ingratiating himself with anyone. But Asajj Ventress wasn't just anyone. She was, in fact, that rare thing, an enemy Kenobi admired. And if all went according to plan, a soon-to-be ally. He took a deep breath, reaching gently into the Force to place a layer of calm on his irritation, like oil upon water. It helped, and eventually, a familiar figure stepped into the bar and made his way to Kenobi's table. "You're late," Kenobi said without preamble, adding pointedly, "Again." Voss shot him his usual grin.
"Hey, at least I'm consistent."
He dropped into the chair, put his booted feet on the table, and placed his hands behind his head, looking utterly at home.
"How is your mission progressing?" "I've made some real progress, as expected."
With the tip of his boot, he gently tapped his empty glass and lifted his eyebrows in query. Kenobi sighed lightly and reached across the table.
"No trouble with our new friends?" he inquired, filling Voss's cup. "None at all. In fact, she's been quite helpful. Says she's got contacts within the Separatist Alliance that are indebted to her. They'll contact her when one of them knows where Dooku will be next."
Kenobi slid the glass across the table. Voss caught it just as it was about to tip over.
"And you trust her?" Voss drained the drink and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Something prickled in Kenobi. A sense that things were not right. Voss was taking just a little too long in replying. Only a Jedi, and one who knew Voss well at that, would have noticed.
"Yes," Voss said firmly. "I do."
He slid the glass back over to Kenobi for a refill. Obi-Wan searched his friend's face. Beneath the expression of absolute confidence, he looked vulnerable. In a kind voice, he said,
"Have caution, Quinlan.
Ventress is nothing if not manipulative. She won't hesitate to use your trust against you the instant it serves her own selfish purposes." Back the glass slid across the table. Voss caught it and looked Kenobi right in the eye.
"She's been faithful to me."
That's a curious choice of words, Kenobi thought, and the unease stirred inside him again. But there was nothing to be done. He had warned Voss, and he could do no more. The other Jedi, after all, was a fellow master, and one who had been in this sort of duplicitous situation many more times than Kenobi had. He contented himself with saying, "For now." They clinked their glasses and drank. Kenobi placed his down on the table and rose, donning his helmet and clapping Voss on the shoulder. But even as he left, he couldn't shake the peculiar sense of foreboding. Ventress set the coordinates for a world to which she had never desired to return. But she knew in her heart it was the right place to begin Voss's training. He clearly sensed her need for silence and respected it, though, knowing him, he was probably bursting with curiosity. When they came out of hyperspace and the red planet filled the viewport, Ventress felt a dull, sick ache. A sensation she knew would only grow sharper with what was about to unfold. She brought the Banshee in for a landing beneath the curving, blackened trunks of what had once been 80-meter-high trees. A few had escaped the flames, and some of them still bore poignant, precious fruit. Ventress sat for a moment in the cockpit, opening to the pain, letting it slice her soul like a knife across an open palm. Her grief, hatred, and guilt dripping out like blood. It had been less than a year since the slaughter, and the wound was still fresh and raw. Without a word to Voss, She rose, went to the door, and tapped the controls to open it and extend the ramp. He followed her as she descended, looking first at her, then gazing upon the red-tinted, mist-wreathed world. He stiffened abruptly. Ventress suspected he was sensing the grip the dark side had upon her birthplace, how strong it was, and how deep it went.
"Do you remember sharing Lasseraim's whiskey that night?"
Ventress asked quietly. He nodded.
"I asked you what your story was, and you said you didn't have one. Do you recall what I said when you asked me that question?"
"You said you had quite a few of them, but none of them ended well," Voss replied quietly.
"I'm going to share one of those stories with you now,"
Ventress said, her voice huskier than usual with emotion.
"About a sisterhood, and a girl who was taken from it, and came back home."
She walked among the faint shadows of the trees, and heard Voss's swift intake of breath as, now, he saw the skeletons of more than a forest. None remained intact. The scavengers had done their jobs, but here and there was the unmistakable shape of a human skull.
"When I was an infant, my clan was forced to surrender me to a criminal. I became his slave, but he was a surprisingly kind master. He was killed when I was still quite young during an attack by Weequay raiders. I was rescued by a Jedi Knight named Kai Norik, who sensed that I was strong in the Force. He was stranded on Ratatak, and he took me under his wing. I became his Padawan."
"You were trained by a Jedi?"
Voss stared openly at her. Ventress nodded and clenched her teeth for a moment. Sorrow gripped her heart, and she let it.
"For 10 years, we helped the people of Ratatak. We became heroes, to most. But to some, we were the enemy."
"The Jedi are always enemies to some," Voss said.
"Norik died in front of my eyes. He too was killed by Weequay,"
Ventress continued. Speaking the words opened the gates even more, and she felt a flare of the old, never quite gone pain, and the comfort, cold but real, of hatred.
"You may have noticed I dislike them. I vowed vengeance, and I got it. Soon the warlords were dead, and I ruled in their place. It was on Ratatak that Dooku found me, and I him."
She shrugged.
"I hated the Jedi for abandoning my master, and Dooku wanted an apprentice as filled with hatred as he was. It was a good match."
"So, what changed?"
Her lip curled in a snarl as she recalled Dooku's words.
"He abandoned me without warning. He said I had failed him for the last time and left me for dead. But I survived, and I vowed to kill him. I knew I would need allies if I were to succeed, and so I came home."
She gestured to the place in which they stood.
"Home to the Night Sisters, where I was made welcome, and our clan leader, Mother Talzin, helped me plot my revenge. Twice I attempted to assassinate Dooku. Twice I failed."
Ventress turned to regard Voss intently. She could tell he sensed the deep anguish of the place. His gaze fell to the ground, lingering on the broken remains of a Night Sister's bow.
"Dathomir is where you got your bow, isn't it?"
Wordlessly, Ventress nodded.
"No wonder it's so important to you."
He bent, picked up the bow respectfully, and gasped. Sweat broke out on his forehead, and his body went taut. His eyes widened, seeing not what was here now, but what had been here then.
The bow tumbled from his shaking fingers, and he stepped back from it. Recovering, he said, "I'm sorry. My talent, my psychometry. When I hold an object and focus on it,
Sometimes I can see and hear things that have happened during its history. And sometimes I can feel what happened.
Then you know that Dooku ordered the massacre, Ventress said quietly. It happened the same night that I undertook the ritual to become a true Night Sister. Dooku sent General Grievous here with an army. We responded with the same. We used our magics, and we summoned the dead.
She gestured to an area of trees that had managed to escape the fire, and pointed to the large sacks that hung like teardrop-shaped pods.
These contain the bodies of my sisters, Ventress said. She reached to caress the smooth casing. When one dies, so I was told, we perform a ritual to honor her. We bathe her in a sacred pool, then enclose her in this pod. In this way, a sister never truly leaves us. She is dead, but she is nestled inside something vibrant and alive. She is suspended between sky and soil, because she is truly of neither. She is always near, always part of the clan. I was taught that our dead sisters can share our celebrations of joy and our ceremonies of grief. And that one night, they shared our fight.
Ventress gestured to the skeletons around them. For a moment, her voice caught.
But I do not know the secret of preserving the fallen, and no one else was left to tend to them.
Asajj...
Voss spoke with great tenderness as he reached to touch her arm gently.
I am so... so very sorry.
For the briefest of instants, the simple sincerity of his words and gesture almost undid her. Ventress slammed the door down on the feeling at once, before she was overwhelmed. She had brought Voss here to teach him of hatred, to make him strong enough to face Dooku, not to comfort her. It was the only way. She knew, without knowing how she knew it, that Dooku would only be killed by someone with hatred in her or his heart. So she disengaged herself and turned to face Voss.
Don't be. That's a weakness. Stretch out your feelings even more, Voss. Don't hold back. Feel the presence of my sisters. Their fear, their anguish, their hatred. It is this you must learn to focus on if we are to succeed.
Sensing the presence of a living thing, she turned to one of the burned branches. A black snake, about half a meter long, twined lazily about it, flicking out its forked tongue to smell her. Unafraid, she touched its mind and called it to her. It obeyed, climbing up her arm to her neck. Its tongue tickled as it touched below her ear.
My hatred?
Voss laughed uneasily.
That's not exactly the Jedi way.
Ventress didn't answer at once. She watched the snake make its way across the back of her neck and halfway down her other arm. It lifted its head and turned to meet her gaze. Stonily, her eyes locked with its slitted ones.
As I warned you, to defeat Dooku, we cannot do things the Jedi way.
Ventress lifted her right hand, and the snake obligingly coiled its first few centimeters about it. Ventress raised the creature so it was only a few centimeters from her face.
Hatred. The snake hissed and then began to thrash.
Voss started to interrupt, but Ventress lifted her left hand to stop him.
When Kai Narek was killed, I allowed my hatred to take over.
At the words, the snake's struggle intensified. Ventress drank in its panic, closing her free hand on empty air as the force throttled the animal for her.
Hatred gave me access to abilities the Jedi think are too unnatural. But the Sith know that the path to hatred
is the path to ultimate power.
The snake went limp. She let it fall from her hand to the ground, dead.
Voss stared at it for a long moment. Then, not taking his eyes from the creature, he began to speak.
I understand your feelings. I also lost my master. He was killed early on in the war. It was hard to suppress my emotions, the rage I felt at his passing. And I understand your guilt, too.
He paused for a moment, pressing his lips together, as if not wanting to speak the words.
I was supposed to be his partner that day, but instead the council sent me on a separate mission.
His eyes darkened, and his body tensed as he spoke.
I always felt that if I had been there, I could have saved Master Tholme.
Still savoring the snake's torment, Ventress noted the hatred building in Voss.
I remember that battle,
she said, sending him encouragement to dive still deeper into his emotions. His head whipped up, and he stared at her.
You were there?
Too late. Ventress realized her misstep. Fear, usually a stranger, suddenly welled in her heart. If Voss knew, he would...
No. She could fix this. She could use Voss's feelings for her to do so.
No,
she lied smoothly.
Dooku bragged about it to me. It was he who killed your master. He even kept Tholme's lightsaber as a trophy.
Voss winced. His faith in her words did not waver, and Ventress felt a surge of relief at the fresh spurt of anger she felt from him.
I never knew, he said. The council never saw fit to tell me.
Ventress realized that she had cemented his trust in her, given him a personal vendetta against Dooku, and sparked resentment toward the council, all with a few well-chosen words. Such was the treacherous power of the dark side. She lowered her voice till it was a husky purr.
Let that anger guide you,
she said.
Your feelings for the loss of your master.
When Voss spoke, staring straight ahead, his voice was unsteady.
I was trained to not use those emotions.
Because you were a Jedi,
Ventress said. He winced at the inflection of her words.
But I am still.
Ventress stepped in front of him, their gazes locked. Voss was trembling. To her astonishment, Ventress realized she was too. But with what emotion, she could not tell. She stroked his cheek with unsteady fingers, strangely hypersensitive to the rough scrape of stubble. And he closed his eyes and leaned into her hand. His warm, quick breath fanned her wrist.
There are other emotions the Jedi taught you not to use,
she whispered.
Do you deny them as well?
Voss opened his eyes, rich and warm and brown. He stared at her for a long moment. Then, with a sound of both desire and anguish, as if something had broken within him, he pulled her into his arms and kissed her.